Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
A couple years ago, I was in the bathroom at the airport when I dropped my smartphone in the toilet. Not smart. I was multitasking when I should have been focused on the job at hand. Embarrassing, but I'm not alone. According to Google, 7 million other multitaskers accidentally dropped their phones into the bowl last year. A gentle reminder that right now you can get yourself a brand new Samsung Galaxy A36 absolutely free with a $35 plan from Pure Talk. The A36 comes with scratch-resistant Gorilla Glass and a battery that'll last all day, along with unlimited talk, text, and data on America's most dependable 5G network. In other words, it's tough and smart. Something to think about next time you're multitasking in the necessary. Just dial #250, say keyword micro to get your free phone today. You can make the switch in just 10 minutes. That's #250. Say micro to switch to a no-nonsense smartphone and a company that actually stands for something. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. As calls mount for the Justice Department to release all the Jeffrey Epstein files, a House panel now approved a motion for the GOP chair to subpoena Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. Now the DOJ is also pushing to talk with Maxwell.
It's a stunning announcement from the number two in the Justice Department, who previously served as Donald Trump's defense attorney. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he hopes to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell to see if she believes anyone else should be prosecuted. Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, is currently serving a 20-year prison sentence, and she's the only person other than him to ever be charged with sex trafficking. In a statement earlier this month, the DOJ and FBI said they'd seen no evidence implicating anyone else.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Severe heat impacting millions across the U.S. this week with dangerous temperatures and humidity in the Midwest and South. Black Sabbath frontman Ozzy Osbourne has died. His family says the British rocker passed away surrounded by love. Ozzy Osbourne was 76. This is ABC News. In Gaza, the UN says aid in the war-torn enclave is so scarce, people are collapsing on streets from severe hunger. Israeli forces are expanding their operations in humanitarian zones, and the UN says making it harder for Palestinians to evacuate to any safe place. ABC's James Longman has more on a children's hospital ward in the city of Deir al-Balah, where one mother says she's trying to help her five-month-old.
She took her to receive treatment after Haya struggled to gain weight. Haya lacked oxygen when she was born, Nohan says. She suffers from malnutrition. There's a lack of milk in Gaza. Here, Haya can get the formula milk she so desperately needs. But in the markets, Nohan says, formula milk is rarely available. And when it is, it's too expensive for her and her family.
More than 5 million above-ground pools sold at several retailers are being recalled after the drowning deaths of at least 9 children. A repair kit is being offered. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Whether it's day or night, hot flashes due to menopause can be unpredictable. That's why there's Veozah, a prescription treatment proven to reduce the number and severity of hot flashes day and night that can start working in as early as 1 week. Based on clinical studies measuring efficacy at 4 and 12 weeks, individual results may vary. Talk to your healthcare provider about what this may mean for you. For moderate to severe vasomotor symptoms or hot flashes and night sweats due to menopause, Veozah can cause serious side effects, including liver problems. Your doctor will do blood tests before and during treatment. Stop Veozah and call your doctor if you have symptoms of liver problems, such as feeling more tired than usual, decreased appetite, nausea, vomiting, itching, yellowing of the eyes or skin, pale stool, dark urine, or stomach pain. Don't use Veozah if you have cirrhosis, severe kidney problems, kidney failure, or take CYP1A2 inhibitors. Ask your doctor about Veozah. To learn more, call 1-866-239-1637 or go to Veozah.com. That's Veozah.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. Shawnee County authorities are looking for an armed and dangerous man linked to burglaries involving firearms. 37-year-old Michael Thorson has a felony probation warrant. He is wanted in connection with multiple recent vehicle thefts and burglaries across Shawnee and Marathon counties. A stolen vehicle believed to be operated by Thorson was recovered Sunday afternoon in the Stockbridge-Muncie area, but law enforcement was unable to locate him. Anyone with information regarding his whereabouts is asked not to approach him and immediately call law enforcement. A 17-year-old Oneida girl has been taken into custody following a shooting at a Pulaski park.
This is in addition to a 19-year-old who was also arrested in the incident. Around 10:30 p.m. Friday, officers were called to Memorial Park for a report of shots fired, a physical altercation, and a person armed with a knife. Upon arrival, officers found an 18-year-old Green Bay man with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital. A handgun and a knife were recovered at the scene. Police are recommending charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety, injury by negligent use of a weapon, and disorderly conduct against the 19-year-old. The 17-year-old faces charges of substantial battery, strangulation and suffocation, and disorderly conduct. Further charges could be filed. Rachel Charniak, Wisconsin Radio Network.
A third person has been charged in connection with the kidnapping of a Milwaukee boy earlier this month.
Online court records show 38-year-old Fabian Johnson is charged with being party to kidnapping. Police accuse Johnson of being part of an attempt to ransom a 7-year-old boy to the child's mother, who is an alleged drug dealer. Johnson and two other people allegedly pulled the boy into a van at gunpoint and drove off. The child was found safely the next day. Two other people accused in the case, 25-year-old Corey Williams and an unidentified 14-year-old accomplice, have already been charged. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. Need a getaway? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Currently 82 degrees.
Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Good to have you with us for a conversation about what is happening across agriculture. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to have a conversation with Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin here in segment two. We're going to get her thoughts on that reconciliation package, the one big beautiful bill, the pieces that were in there for agriculture. Her being on the Democratic side, she has some concerns about a few other pieces of that legislation. We're going to talk about that with her coming up in just a little bit. After the bottom of the hour, we're going to take a look at some of the current market trends with Naomi Bloom, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Then we're going to close the show with a look at Ag News headlines, including an update on the U.S. Trade Representative reviewing the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which provides favorable access to the U.S. market for products from 30 African nations. We'll hear that report from Farm and Ranch Media's Susan Littlefield and take a look at more Ag News headlines coming up later on in the show. Helping us get things started, though, let's talk a little bit about New World Screwworm and discuss USDA's approach to combating New World Screwworm and keeping it out of the U.S. Joining us now for a conversation, he is South Dakota State University Extension veterinarian Dr. Russ Daly. Russ, it's great to have you join us here on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Now, I know this has been a topic we have been talking about, I feel like, nonstop almost for several months now since this really reared its head and became an issue again. Obviously, New World Screwworm, trying to keep it confined to Mexico and Central America and more, but it continues to spread northward. What are your thoughts overall on just USDA's approach to fighting screwworm and trying to keep it out of U.S. cattle herds?
Yeah, I think the steps being taken so far have been good ones. You know, it starts with closing the border to livestock. You know, that's probably one of the main ways it would come up into the United States. So, but we also have to realize that, you know, that's just affecting the cattle, bison, and horses that go through those entry ports. So what they've done is shut those down for now until we get a better handle on what's happening down in Mexico. So that's been a good step. And they're really beefing up their efforts to help with the sterile fly production. You know, there's one big place where those sterile flies are produced, and that's not going to be enough in order to prevent, you know, it spreading further north inside Mexico, and then hopefully, you know, that it doesn't come up into the United States. So beefing up those efforts, whether it's going to be enough, I guess we're just going to have to see.
Well, from a veterinarian perspective, this is something I know we've touched on, but talk about this. If we were to see screwworm get into the U.S., I know it could have some devastating impacts on our cattle herds, right, Russ?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as a veterinarian up here, even in the northern United States, you know, I see, you know, fly strikes, in animals during the summer months, and that's not pleasant, but we can deal with those things. This is a whole other issue. This is a whole other player. The New World screwworm is something that affects living animals, and so you can go on and see pictures of infested animals down in Central America and that, and what it does to the individual animal is just heartbreaking, actually. But then, you know, we think about all the resources that we would need for our animal industries to deal with these things and keep its spread contained, even if it would get into the United States. So it's a huge economic thing for our animal industries beyond just the individual animal effects. And the other thing with this is it's not just a cattle thing. You know, it's not just a pig thing, right? You know, most of our animal diseases, we can almost sit back and if you're a cattle producer, well, you know, this pig disease is really bad for them, but thank goodness I don't have to worry about them. This is something that could affect everybody, you know, even cattle producers, people who have horses, people who raise captive deer and elk, for example. If you just have a dog, this is something that can affect you too. So it's worth keeping an eye on, that's for sure.
What are some things producers should keep an eye out for in terms of screwworm, as we, again, don't have it in the U.S., but we know that it could happen? So what are some things that producers should stay vigilant with here, Russ?
Yeah, so the thing to look for would be those wounds that don't seem to be healing, right? So, you know, occasionally up in our part of the world and during the summer months everywhere here in the United States, you know, we have fly strike where we have fly larvae feeding on, you know, dead tissue on animals. So the common thing would be like a dehorning wound or a wound that was caused by, you know, an injury, for example. And, you know, it's unfortunate but not uncommon that we'd have our normal blowflies come in and infest those wounds. And by the way, this is not something that's really fun to talk about, especially early in the morning. But the New World screwworm is something that doesn't need much of an entrance into the animal. So it could be something as small as an insect bite, and the fly could get in there and lay its eggs and start the whole process. So what we need to be looking for would be those wounds that really don't have an explanation, right? So, you know, the dehorning wound, the injury, we can see that and we can treat that animal accordingly. But, you know, a little fly bite or an insect bite, a tick bite that gets bigger and bigger and you start to see, you know, larvae infestation, that's what to really pay attention to.
Russ, great insight here. Final thoughts. We've got about 90 seconds. What would you leave producers with in terms of watching for New World screwworm or fighting any other major issues in cattle and more right now across the Midwest and more?
Yeah, of course, you know, people in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona are really keyed into this, but everybody everywhere needs to be looking out for it. And the main thing is that when you see something unusual that you don't have a good explanation for, first call should be to your veterinarian, and they have the steps in place that they can contact people if it needs to be something that's investigated. Hopefully it's not going to be something that's unusual. It's something more of the normal run-of-the-mill things we see up here in the summer months. But if there's anything unusual, the first call should be to their veterinarian, and they're the ones who will start that process if there needs to be some further investigation.
Absolutely. Well, I know a lot of resources available out there as well. I know folks can contact you and the great team there at the South Dakota State University Extension and more. Russ, really appreciate the conversation. We'll have to get you back on AOA again real soon. With that, we'll let you go. Russ Daly, South Dakota State University Extension veterinarian. Thanks for joining us today, Russ. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on AOA, we're going to switch gears and head to Capitol Hill. We're going to have a conversation with Wisconsin Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Get her thoughts on what we see in the reconciliation package signed into law. Let's talk about a couple other pieces of legislation that she has brought forward as well. We're going to dive into that conversation next here on AOA, Agriculture of America.
Hey y'all, Eli Winders here. I want to take a minute to talk to you about something close to my heart. There are thousands of animals out there waiting for someone just like you to come along and change their lives. Don't worry if you think you might not be the perfect match. There are shelters and rescue organizations full of folks ready to help find the right pet for you. Visit your local shelter or check out online rescue groups today. You never know. Your new best friend might be waiting for you. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now on AOA, it's good to talk with Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. Senator Baldwin, it's good to hear from you again. Hope all is well.
All is well, and I am delighted to join you.
Well, let's start with the reconciliation package that was signed into law on July 4th. I know a lot of pieces in there related to the farm bill. What's your reaction to that legislation, Senator?
Yeah, you know, I'm deeply concerned about where the passage of this bill left us and what it's going to mean for our rural communities as a whole. which, you know, I think we're largely left behind. You know, we could talk about both the SNAP cut and their impact on farmers, but also a lot of the healthcare related cuts are disproportionately going to impact rural hospitals and rural access to healthcare. So starting with SNAP, my Republican colleagues proposed cuts to the nation's food assistance program. These are going to be really challenging on people who are going hungry right now. But remember, it's the farmers and producers who are putting the food on those tables. And I've talked to a lot of food pantries and food banks who are already at capacity. And once those food assistance SNAP cuts take place and they have to serve millions more families across the United States, they're going to be above capacity in many ways. And then on the healthcare side, cuts to both Medicaid, or in Wisconsin we call it Badger Care, and cuts to the Affordable Care Act, where lots of people will lose their private insurance that they purchased through the Affordable Care Act marketplaces. The estimate is that probably across the country, 300 rural hospitals will be at risk of shutdown. And where that happens in Wisconsin, that will mean care is available further from home. They have to drive longer distances. And many other hospitals will stay in business, but they'll cut their least profitable services like mental health and maternity care. And again, has some real negative impacts on rural Wisconsin, on the agriculture community. And why? To pay for big tax cuts for big corporations and the wealthy. That doesn't add up in my mind.
Where do we go from here with this being law now? I know there's some other pieces of the farm bill that are left to get done, for instance, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, your perspective on where do we go moving forward from here, Senator?
Yes. Well, I think we have to be engaged in real focused scrutiny of all of these measures as they are implemented. We have to call out the negative impact they're having. We have to uplift the stories of people who have been harmed. If there are hospital closures, nursing home closures, we have to put a spotlight on that and build the pressure on my colleagues to re-examine the cuts that they've made, to take another look at them, and hopefully where they've gone too far, which I think is in many areas of that big bill, that we can persuade my colleagues to restore those. And, you know, it's tragic that we have to go through with these cuts to our most vulnerable neighbors. But we can't just walk away from this battle. We have to keep on engaging in it.
Senator, I know a few days ago you sent a letter to USDA looking at them, wanting them to safeguard farmers' information, their financial information and more. And there's been a lot of talk, you know, earlier this year about DOGE and all their access. Can you tell folks a little bit about that request?
Yeah, so we learned very recently that an individual had been given access not only to review a USDA database, but also to manipulate it, to edit it, to overwrite it. And this is a database that has a lot of private information. You know, think about the information you provide when you're seeking a loan or a grant. So it's personal information, it's financial information, it's information that you wouldn't want your competition to get. And this database prior had very, very limited access. And it appears that the Ag Secretary, Rollins, has given permission to someone from DOGE. Reminder to listeners, DOGE stands for the Department of Government Efficiency, except for the fact that it's not a department that Congress created or that has been given any sort of legislative approval. It is a creation of this president and his team. It's unaccountable, and people are very concerned that not only could their information be reviewed by somebody who has no subject matter expertise, he is not an ag expert, he is not an ag economics expert. And so not only can private personal information be looked at by this individual, but it can be manipulated. And we've already heard some reports that that has happened, that some people have been deleted from the database because of some irregularities with regard to how their birthday was entered into this database. And very alarming. I've certainly heard from folks who have had funding paused by the Department of Agriculture saying, is this the same thing? Is this this guy in the database? Or was my funding moved around for other reasons? And it's deeply distressing to farmers and processors that I've been talking to.
It's a topic we need to keep an eye on for sure. A couple other things I do want to ask you about before we run out of time. I know you just introduced the Farmers First Act of 2025 with Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So, look, farming is a challenging profession. And too many of our Wisconsinites in our rural communities, farmers, farm workers, don't have anywhere to turn when they need mental health help. And devastatingly, it shows the rate of suicide among farmers is 3.5 times higher than among the general population. And we can't stand for that. And it's why I was proud to invest in a program in the last Farm Bill, the 2018 Farm Bill, again, with my Republican colleague, Joni Ernst from Iowa. We authorized the Farmers First Bill to connect farmers and folks in rural communities with help. And I recognize that we need to do more. So this bill really doubles down on our efforts so that more folks in rural communities can help recognize the signs that someone's really struggling with their mental health, and allows us to double down on getting them help. So it includes activities like training to help folks recognize the signs, the telltale signs of depression and mental health challenges, to create support groups among farming communities, crisis hotlines, all sorts of activities so that we can take on these high suicide rates that we're seeing among our farmers and bring them down.
It is such a topic that needs to be brought up more and more. I know a lot of folks are struggling in rural America. Senator, also real quick, harvest season's right around the corner. Tell us a bit about the Reliable Rail Service Act. I know that has been an issue in Wisconsin and many other states as well.
Yep. You know, part of this process is getting our products to market. And we do so in the ag sector in many different ways. Trucks and trains and barges on our riverways. And so we have to keep that infrastructure up to speed. So one of the problems we have in the rail is that, there's real almost monopolies, duopolies, some people have called it, among our freight rail services. And that means that they have given very shoddy service to many of their customers. They preference their biggest customers, and they don't recognize that they have a common carrier duty to all shippers. And so my Reliable Rail Service Act helps us build a strong economy and lower costs for consumers and shippers by requiring the freight rail services to be reliable and to understand what their common carrier obligation means. So we define that finally in our legislation so that we can help the enforcement agencies hold those freight rail companies to account.
many topics, a lot of ground covered. Always appreciate the conversation. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin, thank you for joining us on AOA today, Senator. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. It's great to join you.
Back with more right after this.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
You're listening.
From blazing heat to pounding rain, your crops are facing it all. In-season aerial applications are the perfect chance to apply fungicides and stress-reducing products that help your crops stay resilient. And don't forget the hay. Haymaker delivers the nutrients your forage needs for high-quality, healthy growth. Apply after cuttings 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 and set your fields up for success. Questions? Visit elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401. Elsevia, they're here to help.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 38 to 17.25, September down 31 to 17.78, October down 20 to 18.30, November down 11 at 18.39. Live cattle markets were mixed, lower in the nearby months on some profit-taking, but higher in deferreds. Feeder cattle, though, were mostly higher, well off of the day's gains, as some late-session profit-taking did limit the gain. Now, one of the things the trade will also continue to watch is heat stress in cattle with that big heat dome that's developing over the countryside and in the U.S. There's also still some ambitious attitudes towards continued demand in the countryside. Meanwhile, hog markets, they were mostly mixed on the day, even though pork cutout values, they were mostly lower. Some of the contracts continue to move higher on additional buying interest due to potentially good consumer demand. August live cattle down 25 cents to $224.97. August feeder cattle up 67 cents to $328.27. August hogs up 40 cents to $107.75. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans mostly lower. No real bullish news to help move the markets higher. The short-term weather forecast, while getting warmer, there has been plenty of moisture as of late, so the crop stress could be minimal. Wheat markets higher due to easing harvest pressure. New crop corn down 4.25 to 418. New crop beans down a half to 1025.5. Experience the magic of the Wabasha County Fair, July 30th through August 2nd at the fairgrounds in Wabasha. Enjoy the IMP Motocross, July 30th at 7 p.m. and August 2nd at 5 p.m. Bull riding with Great Frontier is August 1st at 7 p.m. with music by the Chubbs following. Kids games and inflatables, great food and big races too. It's a week of food, fun and fantastic entertainment during the Wabasha County Fair, July 30th through August 2nd at the fairgrounds in Wabasha.
When your reputation is on the line, go to the Midwest leader, Bauer Built Tire and Service, for all your tire and service repair needs. They've been supplying cars, SUVs, light and medium truck tires, as well as farm tires since 1944. Plus, they've built their reputation on services such as alignments, brakes, and suspension work that will exceed your expectations. Stop in today at Bauer Built Tire and Service on Mall Drive in Eau Claire and in Durant. Bauer Built, built on service.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here today on AOA, we got a little Wisconsin flair to the program. We just talked to Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin. Let's stay in the state of Wisconsin and talk markets with Naomi Bloom, Senior Market Advisor at Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, it's good to hear from you again. How are you?
Oh, doing fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'd love your take on some of this grain market action we've been seeing. And I know for a lot of folks, it hasn't been a fun conversation here lately. I know price action has not been too pleasant. And here this week so far, corded soybeans in particular, looking at a little bit of sell pressure. I mean, it just feels like there's just a lot of bearish news items out there that continue to weigh on this grain trade, Naomi.
Yeah, that's absolutely what we're seeing. So, you know, last week, Friday, markets pushing higher, almost filling gaps on daily charts, just on news that we were going to see just the high heat in the forecast. But then yesterday, Monday, prices sinking lower as the heat looks to kind of simmer down a little bit and better chances of rain. And we just can't get any big traction on things. You know, when we got the crop progress ratings yesterday afternoon, we've got, you know, for the bean market, just a 2-point drop in the good to excellent category, but overall still a really good crop out there. And on the corn side of things, you know, we've got 74% of the crop rated as good to excellent. So even though we had been hearing of some of these whispers of potential pollination issues, the market still thinks that, you know, it's going to be a decent crop until proven otherwise. And that starts to also match seasonals, which really usually keep grain prices on the defensive until late August.
I wonder, moving forward here, we watch the weather, of course, the fluctuations there. But what about this tariff trade unknown? Is that something that could potentially give us some reason to at least work off of some of these lows that we've been seeing, Naomi? What's your take on that?
Well, it could be. I mean, for the wheat market, we got some good news that Bangladesh had agreed to buy 700,000 tons of U.S. wheat annually as part of trade negotiations. And so we're hoping and waiting to see that there might be some additional positive trade news. But now it looks like negotiations with China are going to continue to be on the back seat, with now saying that President Trump is going to meet with President Xi in October. So on the soybean side of things, soybeans are going to probably just stay in a trading range for another few weeks until we know more about how much China is or is not going to buy from the United States. But China does continue to up their imports of soybean needs from Brazil. We just got more verification of that. We heard that China's June imports from Brazil for the month of June were up 9% year over year. And so we're going to hope that we see China come in as a buyer in the next few weeks. Traditionally, they do at the end of August, as soybean prices usually have a tendency to find that low. But until we get some concrete news of a specific amount of Chinese purchases or a new specific amount of buying from other countries, the markets are just going to, I think, hang in limbo for a little while longer. So we do want to watch all those trade deals. August 1st is the next rolling deadline for some of those countries. And of course, you know, that's just around the corner.
You know, I've heard plenty of whispers, and maybe it's more than whispers, about a lot of farmers trying to potentially find or build more storage for this fall, waiting to hopefully get some sort of rally here in these grain markets. And you had an article, I believe, about that related to that anyway, our friends over at Farm Progress here a few days ago. I mean, what are you hearing from producers in terms of storing grain later this fall, hoping to try and get a rally, managing their risk with that, et cetera, Naomi?
Yes, and that has very much a theme from producers. They'll sell what they have to across the scale at harvest time, but store the rest and just put a big lock on those bins until we get some sort of a price rally. So in the article that you're mentioning that I'd wrote for Farm Progress, just talked about ways to try to help pay for that cost of storage. The article talked about selling call options, and now it's a very risky strategy. It is definitely not for everyone, but when you're selling a call option, you're collecting premium, and then as long as the market just stays in a sideways trading range for a little while, you can collect some of that option premium to then help, in this essence, pay for storage. And then, of course, at some point, we're hoping that we see a rally in late winter, similar to maybe what happened last year, as we get a better handle on not only what the U.S. crop is when everything is said and done, but what's going to be happening in South America in the winter season, as it is there, of course, growing season, and sometimes we can get a market rally out of that. So it's a time frame where we don't want farmers to be complacent by any means. There's opportunities out there for you. So just start working, you know, with an advisor to try to see ways that we can just help balance all the scenarios that are out there, and be ready for anything. And especially if you're storing grain, you got to be on your toes to know when you're going to actually make those cash sales in the future and not just forget that you've got that grain in the bin.
And always a reminder that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. We're talking with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. Let's go over to the livestock sector, Naomi. Here's cattle again, more new highs Monday, a little bit of red Tuesday, but I know there's been plenty of volatility here. You know, I wonder maybe Tuesday's action is obviously the talk of the funds and the algos, and we've seen a lot of selling that Tuesday to Tuesday fund time frame every week. And I feel like that's a theme we've seen in cattle for several months now. But I mean, what is your take on some of this volatility we're seeing across the cattle complex right now?
Well, to me, it says that traders are very aware that we are at extreme high prices, and they're waiting for one piece of fundamental news to just drop that sends this market lower. In the meantime, it's a lot of back and forth action. When we don't get a lot of fresh news, then the day traders take over, and we've seen a lot of range trading between the 5-day and 10-day moving average for day traders. So it's that fundamental balance. You know, seasonally, this is the time of year where box beef values decline, and we have seen that the past 2 weeks. So that is showing that the consumer is starting to slow down on purchases, but of course the underlying theme of tight supply is still out there. Now, this coming Friday, we've got the cattle on feed report, also the cattle inventory report. The estimates just came out on the newswire. So for the on-feed number for Friday's report, they're looking for a number of 99% of a year ago, placement number at 98%, marketed number at 96%. So I'm kind of thinking that for the rest of this week, of course, we'll keep an eye on box beef values and cash values. But the cattle on-feed report and the cattle on inventory report Friday, I think, sets the tone then for the rest of July, and then into August. We'll see if there's any news on there that would maybe actually get those fund traders to really start to exit some of that record long position that they have. And that's what we're going to be watching for and managing.
And you mentioned that cattle inventory report. I know that's something that is coming back. We lost that here for, I believe, at least a year, maybe two, Naomi. Mm-hmm. And now we're getting that July inventory report back. And I know that's something that a lot of folks in the livestock trade were very happy to see that mid-summer report come back.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big deal. And we'll be able to really see, you know, the detailed numbers. And of course, if we're seeing any signs of herd rebuilding within that, heifer retention, that sort of a thing. So that's what we're going to be scrutinizing over to help get us a better feel for what U.S. producers are doing with the cattle that they do have here. And of course, we're balancing imports with Mexican cattle coming across the border, and then watching imports of frozen beef coming in from other countries as well. So it's a huge balancing act in the livestock sector right now for the cattle market. And then I feel like Friday's reports are going to be a big piece of the puzzle to help justify either new price direction to the downside or a reason why the market would have a reason to continue to trade higher.
How about over in the dairy market? Are we seeing any volatility there lately? What are you tracking when you look at things like milk prices and butter, cheese, et cetera? What's the big thing you're watching right now, Naomi?
Well, day-to-day volatility and the amount of contracts traded has quieted down kind of recently. We've got some important dairy reports this week. We've got the June milk production report coming out today after the close. So that's what the market's going to be watching, and then that'll be where we find out if we are, you know, continuing to see milk production edge higher or if suddenly things have shifted. So that's the big one for today. Milk price is pretty quiet heading into that. I do know that some of our dairy product demand in general has been really fantastic. But we're going to be watching that milk production report today for direction, price direction for the rest of the week.
Final 60 seconds, Naomi. Anything else you would mention or reiterate to producers listening in?
Well, I think right now stay on the defensive because markets, as far as grains go, are assuming that the crop is going to be good enough until proven otherwise. And proven otherwise doesn't necessarily come until we get some boots on the ground on some crop tours that come in August, along with some satellite imagery as we get through more of pollination. So stay on the defensive for now. Demand, though, for corn, fantastic. Domestic demand for soybeans, amazing. We're waiting, again, to find out what China's going to be doing in terms of our export demand and sending beans to China. And then look for that harvest low. A lot of times, though, it doesn't come until the end of August. So balance your marketing, balance your approach, stay on the defensive for now until we get a legitimate fundamental reason to suggest otherwise.
TotalFarmMarketing.com for more information. Always a pleasure. Naomi Bloom, Senior Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing. Thanks for joining us, Naomi. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Naomi Bloom with Total Farm Marketing joining us here on AOA. Good to talk with her again. Some great thoughts there on the markets. We'll take a look at ag news headlines and close things out here on AOA right after this.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-616-9695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-616-9695. That's 800-616-9695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Hi, Zoe Saldana. Welcome to T-Mobile. Here's your new iPhone 16 Pro on us.
Thanks. And here's my old phone to trade in.
You don't need a trade-in. When you switch to T-Mobile, we'll give you a new iPhone 16 Pro. Plus, we'll help you pay off your old phone up to $800, and you still get to keep it.
There's always a trade-in.
Not right now at T-Mobile.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma.
That's okay.
I don't really have much in my purse. Oh, let's see. Hand sanitizer? It's lavender.
I'm good. Seriously.
Let me check this pocket. Oh, mints?
Really, I'm fine.
Oh, I have raisins. I'm a mom. Wait 1 sec. I've got cupcakes in the car.
It's our best iPhone offer ever. Switch to T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on us. No trade-in needed. We'll even pay off your phone up to $800.
With 24 monthly bill credits, new line, $100 plus a month on experience beyond finance agreement, $999.99 and qualifying ported. For well-qualified plus tax and $10 connection charge, payoff via virtual prepaid for below 15 days. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. See T-Mobile.com.
The National Corn Growers Association, we got an update on trade and tariffs and the importance of having new markets and demand for corn with Nancy Martinez and Jolene Reeson from the NCGA.
What's really important to realize is it's all about demand. Corn growers need new markets to create that demand. And more demand ultimately puts positive pressure on prices so farmers can make a living. So we have to have these new markets to boost demand and ultimately allow our farmers to be able to, financially put back into their local communities.
I mean, we do a good job feeding what we can to the livestock that's available. But, as farmers, we're too good at what we do. And so we make extra, which is for the farm economy, which is great because if you don't have it, you can't sell it. For the economic part of it, too much is burdensome. And so we need markets to move this product.
Learn more online at ncga.com.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you. LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. As we continue here today, let's take a look at some ag news headlines before we close out the program. Well, the U.S. Trade Representative is reviewing the African Growth and Opportunity Act, which provides favorable access to the U.S. market for products from 30 African nations. We learn more about the status of that with Farm Ranch Media's Susan Littlefield.
So then how it'll work is, in exchange, these African countries are supposed to open their markets to U.S. products. But as the U.S. Meat Export Federation explained in comments submitted to USTR, that hasn't been the case with two of Africa's largest markets. USMEF's president and CEO Dan Hellstrom has more details.
Starting with South Africa, it's very difficult to ship pork variety meats in there from the U.S., and there's also a lot of non-science-based restrictions around pork muscle cuts. In addition, the third item is there's no access for processed pork products into South Africa. So on the pork side, there's immediate opportunity if we get something as simple as pork hearts could turn into, you know, 300-400 metric tons a month overnight if we were to get some of these restrictions lifted. On the beef side, access is better, but the tariff rate is very high, in excess of 30% for most of the beef muscle cuts into South Africa. You look at Nigeria, the situation is even worse. Nigeria is completely closed to fresh and frozen U.S. red meat, beef, and pork. We currently only have access into Nigeria for U.S. pork processed meats, sausages in particular.
The Caribbean Basin Initiative is a similar program for Caribbean countries. USMEF filed concerns with USTR over access for pork in Jamaica.
Jamaica being the primary example on the pork side, which for decades has maintained an unjustified ban on U.S. pork. And the U.S. pork industry and MEF as well has been working closely with Post for years to try to open this market. And so far, we haven't had a lot of success. So, you know, this is a good opportunity under the Caribbean Basin Initiative to finally make an impact here and really leverage Jamaica into following science and getting some access for U.S. pork products.
To follow along with both of these, we encourage you to go to usmef.org. I'm Susan Littlefield reporting.
And thank you, Susan, for that report. Well, Taz Smith, the Vice President of Producer Affairs for the National Cotton Council, spoke at the Louisiana Farm Bureau Convention in New Orleans recently. Looking at the state of the cotton crop, Smith pointed out that acreages are down beltwide.
25-30% in some places. Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty low crop.
The WASDE numbers have not really caught up to that, but I expect they will soon when the acreage report. Now the new reports come out based off what the FSA offices have reported on acres. But it's a down crop across the board. Hopefully we'll see a spike in prices due to that, but we have not seen that yet. We're very excited about the ag provisions, the cotton provisions, and in the reconciliation package raises the seed cotton reference price to 42 cents, which is a very good increase. Going back to 1990, that reference price would have triggered 35 out of the last 37 crop years at a $141 an acre average payment. Really good. It makes a really good change. It makes SCO more like stacks, and growers can enroll their seed cotton base acres in PLC and also take SCO as well. So that's a very positive change.
Smith also said the National Cotton Council is very pleased with the cotton provisions of the budget reconciliation bill.
Raises the seed cotton reference price to 42 cents, which is a very good increase. Going back to 1990, that reference price would have triggered 35 out of the last 37 crop years at a $141 an acre average payment. Really good. It makes a really good change. It makes SCO more like stacks, and growers can enroll their seed cotton base acres in PLC and also take SCO as well. So that's a very positive change, something we've been advocating for a while, and that's going to be in this bill as well. It makes some very positive changes to the marketing loan program, increases the loan rate to 55 cents, makes some changes to the adjusted world price calculations to where it will trigger more often the loan deficiency payments and marketing loan gains will trigger more often for growers.
Again, that's Taz Smith with the National Cotton Council. Well, USDA and other fiscal year 2026 spending bills could become threatened in September if Democrats carry through on a threat to shut down the government over the president's spending clawback efforts. The new fight over the president's bid to downsize the government risks sidelining a more than $25 billion USDA spending bill. Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer accuses Republicans of going back on bipartisan spending deals with Trump rescissions like the $9 billion clawback just enacted. We asked Schumer about that recently.
We are doing everything we can to keep the bipartisan appropriations process going, and they're undermining it with rescissions, with pocket rescissions, with impoundment in every other way.
Senate Majority Leader John Thune warned of a partial government shutdown this fall, with Schumer under stiff pressure from his base after not blocking GOP stopgap funding in March.
The Democrats have suggested that they would shut the government down over us taking up rescission. Somehow that's going to step on the normal appropriations process. And I guess what I would point out is that rescissions have been a part of the process around here for a long time.
That includes both Democratic and GOP administrations. Thune told Fox News on Sunday that a few upcoming votes on spending bills will indicate the likelihood of a government shutdown. Republicans need 60 votes to avert filibusters, but they have only 53, so they need 7 Democrats to overcome the stalling tactics allowed on the 12 appropriations bills. The 2025 beef production forecast is lowered on the slower expected pace of cattle slaughter in the second half of the year. Beef production in 2026 is adjusted upward on greater anticipated marketings. 2025 slaughter steer prices are adjusted higher based on price data through June, and the 2026 forecast is unchanged from June. Now in dairy, based on recent data in milk cow inventory, dairy cow slaughter, and expectations of favorable margins in the near term, the forecast for the average number of dairy cows, milk per cow, and total milk production have all been revised upward for this year and 2026. Total commercial pork production in 2025, according to USDA, forecast at 28 billion pounds, 0.9% higher than in 2024. In 2026, pork production is forecast at 28.5 billion pounds, 1.6% greater than this year. And in poultry, projected broiler production is adjusted higher in 2025 on strong slaughter weights and near-term hatchery indicators. With that, we're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation with the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee, Senator John Bozeman of Arkansas. We'll hear from Chip Nellinger with Blue Reef Agri-Marketing, and we'll remember the life of farm broadcaster Mike Perrine, as former AOA host Mike Adams will join me for that conversation. That's all coming up tomorrow right here on AOA. For now, thanks for joining us on the program. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Field Forward drops on Thursdays, powered by Pioneer, the leader in corn and soybeans. We're talking shop with Pioneer pros and farmers about the season, the science, and why products like PowerCore Enlist, PowerCore Ultra Enlist, and Vorceed Enlist keep Pioneer ahead of the pack. Get the edge. Visit Pioneer.com to learn more. Again, visit Pioneer.com to learn more.
Hey, y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
When you're in the military, you reach a point in your career where you've traveled enough, and that was our situation, and we were ready to retire from the military, and we found a house here.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Staples presents That Was Easy.
Seems like back to school happens earlier each year.
First day of school coming in hot.
And this year my kids had massive supply lists.
Folders, notebooks, and pens. Oh, the humanity.
But Staples had everything I needed, with some items just 25 cents.
Watch the small print.
No. My back to school budget was saved by Staples Easy Button.
Everything for school, in stock and as low as 25 cents. Staples.
That was easy.
In store, online, and on the app. NC 23 while supplies last.
We're here because you're here, shopping locally and listening locally on your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm, and 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A House Oversight Subcommittee approved a motion for the chair to subpoena Ghislaine Maxwell. She's the ex of Jeffrey Epstein and co-conspirator who's serving a 20-year prison.